How's it, everyone? This is Nate. I get to welcome you to the podcast and tell you about our sponsor for today, which is Oakley Standard Issue. Oakley Standard Issue is a division of Oakley specifically for serving those that serve government, military, law enforcement, firefighters, and EMS, the whole lot. Qualified members are going to get exclusive access to new products, service-related discounts, that's the big one, but a whole lot more. Products they're probably already known for is the eyewear. Their eyewear is ballistic rated and industrial certified, perfect for on the job. Footwear that meets uniform regulations while on duty, which is kind of a big deal. Some of my favorite boots I've ever had are the Oakley boots that I picked up when I was in Fort Bliss doing a ton of ruck marches there. Other accessories like gloves and backpacks, some of my favorite gloves I've ever had have also been Oakley gloves. Newly released off-duty styles and collections are definitely stuff that you want to head over and check out. Head on over to oakleysi.com to register. Then you can take advantage of our discount code, which is fieldcraft15 at checkout to receive an additional 15% off of your first order. Again, that is oakleysi.com. Built to protect. Make sure you head on over and check that out.
Hey guys, Mike Glover, Wolf21. I want to talk to you guys today about our mission statement, which is to provide natural supplementation and improve your health and well-being. Everything from CBD and CBN in combo to get a good night's rest, to ruck up for first responders who can't have anything with THC in it. We're always trying to innovate to provide natural supplementation, and that's our mission. We want to do what nobody else is doing and provide a full spectrum of options from Wolf21. So go check it out. The link's down below. And I appreciate your business and appreciate your time. Thanks, guys.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Fieldcraft Survival Podcast. I'm your host for this episode. Sitting across from me today is Jerry Young. Jerry and I just went to the Georgia Bushcraft event, the fall gathering. And man, we had a good time. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about that gathering and also some of the things that you can expect when you go to one of these big meetups, because there's all sorts of shows. There's Blade Show, SHOT Show, there's Overland Expo. And we're just going to talk about some of the things that happen at these events, including the game of bingo that you don't want to be a contestant in, and all the vendors know it. And then, we'll just get down to it. So morning, Jer.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Dude, it's been a wild one. We're not going to talk about why, but it's been a wild one. And, you know, I'm finally all cleaned up and sorted from the weekend. But yeah, I'm just excited to get into this one. How about you?
Yeah, I am too. A lot of fun.
Yeah, guys, big shout out to Jerry and all the trainers out there. Doc Jones, Amber, Rick Lofton, all the different trainers. Vandy, you name it. Kate Smith. All you guys are crushing it with training right now here in North Carolina. We're prepping for the end of the year, and we've got a handful of classes that just have like a couple of spots left. I think I'm almost sold out on one. Jerry's almost sold out on his med class coming up, which by the time this airs, maybe that passed or maybe it didn't pass. So shout out to all the trainers. You guys are teaching some people some good stuff. All right, let's kind of just jump into this one. We don't have to do any ads or anything like that. Let's just talk. So, we got the invite from John Maynard at Badger Claw Outfitters. You guys should check him out. Good American craftsman, makes all American goods. So Badger Claw Outfitters. We got the invite from John Maynard. He goes, hey, would you guys want to come down to Georgia Bushcraft? You will just be my guests in my booth. All you guys have to do is come down here and camp. And we're like, yeah. So we didn't really know what to expect. Like, I haven't been to Bushcraft Outfitters. Or not Bushcraft Outfitters. What the hell?
Georgia Bushcraft.
Georgia Bushcraft. I haven't been to Georgia Bushcraft yet, but I will definitely go back in the springtime. So Jerry and I, we packed up the truck and we drove down. It was about 5 hours from here. And we pull up. And Jerry, initial thoughts, what do you think when we pulled up?
Well, it was really organized the way they were bringing us in there. But I really didn't know what to think as to how we were going to set up and that kind of stuff. But then once we figured it out, it was just like an awesome way to have things set up.
Yeah. And Jerry and I, we go way back like to 2006, 2007. We met at Practice What You Preach, which was an early, early gathering in Marion, North Carolina.
Was it that or was it the original war?
Oh, that was. Yeah, it was.
So that's kind of what it reminded me of, is like that kind of gathering.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know war, Marty Simon, he had an event called Wilderness Adventures Rendezvous. And it was basically like a gathering of people who were interested in camping and whatnot. So I think we met at war, which was September of 2006. Mm-hmm. So September of 2006, Jerry and I met, and those gatherings are fun, right? And you know, most of the time at these gatherings, there's no egos, there's no BS. It's just a lot of people hanging out, having a good time. And if they happen to do business, they do business. And if there's trade blankets and a little bit of booze, so be it. So we kind of have a lot of experience with going to these because we attended so many of them. But again, this was the first time we ever jumped into Georgia Bushcraft. So we meet up with John. John gives us our badges, which you guys should know if you're going to one of these events, you're either going to go as an attendee or an exhibitor or a presenter. So you get your badge. We show up on a Thursday. The event starts on a Friday. It goes Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we were like, well, before we actually got there, we're like, well, would we be better off in hammocks or tents? And John was like, oh, definitely bring tents. And I'm glad we did, because we would have been in the wood line away from where all the action was. So Jerry and I set up our light fighter tents. We crashed, but in our immediate area, I'm trying to think, help me work my way down. It was Badger Claw, and then it was it Malone Knives? Badger Claw, Malone Knives, Tim from Tobacco Road Adventures, Colorado Bushcraft, and then it was the flexible utility thing.
Yep.
And then it was Kahuta Knife, who, you know, ended up selling me the greatest thing ever, which was Rogan was there too. Rogan USA.
Rogan.
So we had this like long stretch of people who at night, everyone sat around the campfire and we just BS'd and we had such a damn good time. But the first night, let's talk about that damn cold.
It was frosty.
Yeah, it was frosty. Guys, we went to Georgia, right? And you expect like Georgia, like maybe like Southern Bells, and maybe you expect like Georgia peaches and things like that. It got down to, what do you think it got down to?
It was 27 when I looked in my truck that next morning.
Okay. So 27 degrees. And it's a good thing that Jerry said to me before we left, he goes, hey, what are you sleeping in? I'm like, well, I'm going to bring the Whoopi. He goes, you might want to grab a warmer bag. So I ran back in my house and I grabbed a 30 degree Kafaru mountain body bag. And thank God I brought that, because that 30 degree bag was on like, I was teetering between like comfort and like running in place inside my bag. And holy crap, it got cold. It got real cold. You have any tips for camping in the cold?
Yeah, put twice as much insulation under you as over you, that's for sure.
Yeah, what sleeping pad did you bring?
I actually brought two. Mm-hmm. I had the Alaskan Guide ground pad since we were car camping, so I was able to have all the gear right there. But I ended up using my climate insulated Static V, which is very comfortable and plenty of insulation.
And later on, we found out that Andy Roy from Fiddleback Forge, he ended up not having a sleeping pad. He went down there last minute and he slept in his 4Runner. And he's like, man, I wish I had a sleeping pad. I wish I had a sleeping pad. And sure enough, like you go to one of these events and if you ask for a sleeping pad, someone's going to deliver. And John was like, hey, I got an extra sleeping pad. He actually brought out two, and Andy had a much better night sleeping. And by the way, that's a way a lot of people show up to these events. So if you're like, hey, I want to go to one, but I don't have a tent, or I want to go to one, but I don't have an RV. Well, put down the back seats in your SUV, or recline the passenger seat or the driver's seat, and just sleep in your car. I've definitely slept in my car a whole bunch of times. But one of the funny things that we brought up were those privacy things. And you've got a long road trip coming up to New York, and your wife was like, well, don't you feel weird catching sleep in a rest stop? And what was your response to her?
No, because if they break the window, they're probably going to get shot in the face.
Yeah, they probably would get shot in the face, knowing you. I think you've got a very low threshold for foolery.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So we wake up and we dust off all the camping gear, right? Everything's got frost. John proceeds to cook for us. And guys, it's been a long time since I've lusted after a piece of gear. And you know, when you go car camping, you have the luxury of bringing bigger items. So even though I love my MSR pocket rocket, even though I love, I have a Primus 2-burner stove. What was the model of the Blackstone that John
Blackstone had? Adventurer. I think it was 17 inches wide.
Yeah. And it's just a griddle. Like it was just a griddle. But what was your favorite thing that he cooked on that?
I got to say, those venison burgers, that was some of the best venison burgers I've ever had. I don't know what it was cut with, but they were spot on.
Yeah, and he had a burger press. He said that he did mix it venison and tallow. I don't know what ratio of what it was, but they were amazing. And that Blackstone, like I said, if you guys are going to go to one of these events, don't skimp on being comfortable, because you want to have all the energy for the day. So John cooked us breakfast that morning, and he proceeded to cook for us the rest of the weekend. But then the event starts off, and again, Jerry and I were there just as guests. So we are helping out John. He's running the booth. He's selling like canvas products and leather goods and whatnot. So we start playing this game of bingo. And you want to explain the game of bingo?
So bingo has, obviously, a bingo card has different squares on it, different numbers. But in place of numbers, we used descriptions of some of the people who attended the event. It had like the tactical guy and the bush hippie. And we had to end up adding some new things to the thing because I never expected to see a for real Santa Claus at Georgia Bushcraft, but he was there.
Yeah. And you know, we're not really making fun of people because it's just what we saw. But man, like we had one category, like the most bushcrafty person, like the person who like takes the cake when it comes to being like the picture perfect bushcrafter. But this is what happens at all these events. Like you can be like a memorable person or an unforgettable person, right? And a memorable person is someone who you're like, man, I really enjoyed having that conversation with that guy or that girl, you know, really, really cool. Or unforgettable in terms of like, oh my God, remember that person that showed up and they had a raccoon backpack, which that was a first for me. Never saw that damn thing before. So yeah, we were playing bushcraft bingo all weekend. You guys will never know who won. You'll never know what the winning bingo combination was. But if you go to an event, your goal should be to kind of blend in as much as possible. Because sometimes there are some very interesting people that stand out. And I'll just leave it at interesting.
Interesting, yes.
Interesting. Interesting is the word. All right. So other things you can expect when you go to a trade show, in case you guys are wondering. And by the way, like when you go to a trade show, don't think you're going there just to buy equipment, because everyone thinks like, oh, vendors. You didn't get a chance to sit in on any of the seminars, right?
I didn't.
No,
but I was happy. Just, I kind of wish I had, looking back now, but the whole like networking thing, like meeting new people that just come up and it's like, oh, you work for Fieldcraft. And then they explain who they work for. And then just like a small world, like one of the first guys I met, Paul, and he's right from the Aberdeen area. Like I went to go say, hey, you need me to move my truck, because my truck was right near where he was setting up camp. And he's like, no. So we got talking, and he's from Aberdeen, and his wife works right in the area, and I recognized her vehicle. And then even a smaller world, we got talking where we were originally from, and his father was from upstate New York. He was from Albany also. So it's just you never know who you're going to meet and where they're going to be from.
And please, if you go to one of these events, don't introduce yourself as your Instagram handle. Like, hey, I'm, woodcutter 457. It's like, give me your first name. Like, I need to know what that is, because there were a few people that did that. I'm like, I don't know who you are. But yeah, the whole idea of like missing out on the seminars, I definitely regret not going and sitting in on Craig Caudill's seminar. Luckily we're going to get Craig out here to North Carolina, and we're going to try to get him out to Utah to do his tracking class, because Craig Caudill is the real deal when it comes to tracking. And he ran a tracking class out there, and it was well received. He had a good booth, and Craig came, you know, bouncing in a couple times. We took a couple of videos for him and whatnot. But from a law enforcement perspective, some of the things that he teaches are just so useful. Like, you know, Jerry can talk more about it, but the dwell time, the window wiping thing.
Yep.
So you want to talk about what that is?
Yeah. So it's kind of like you see where someone's stayed in one spot for a while and kind of like went back and forth, like a windshield wiper would. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like you're tracking the person to catch him. Maybe you have the person in custody, but that could be where he's looking to hide a gun or drugs or something like that. So there's so many pointers that class that you can pick up.
Yeah, so Craig did a seminar, and then, you know, Bearded Burton, I believe, did a seminar. Jonathan's a good buddy of mine. He might be running some classes for us out of Texas. And then, you know, I bumped into so many other people that were good presenters. Joe Flowers, who, God, I could go back and tell some stories about Joe. But Joe runs a lot of classes. He's been on the podcast before. Like, you never know what kind of seminars are going to be at these events. But when you get there, take advantage of those. Like, you can always go back and buy gear later, but if you have a chance to spend 30 minutes with an instructor, it gives you an opportunity to get an idea if you want to train with that instructor in the future, if you want to invest more time, invest more money, all that great stuff. So I didn't get a chance to sit on any of those seminars either. We had a chance to kind of walk around and see the exhibitors. I did shoot some slingshots. I did shoot with the guys from Simple Shot Slingshot. And my God, like, I think I'm a decent shooter with a slingshot. The owner of Simple Shot Slingshots was shooting at a quarter size steel target at about 10 yards. And he was nailing it like 8 out of 10 times. And I was like, I am okay. I'm not good. I'm okay compared to that dude. So you get there. You can stop at the booths, you can go to seminars, you can participate in some of the activities. What were some of the, I mean, what were some of the favorite moments you had with teaching the kids that came by? Because you were, I mean, when I looked over, you're like, I'm teaching that kid how to use a tourniquet. I'm teaching that kid how to do that. Like, who were those kids that you were talking to that always were popping into the booth?
So the one kid was Bo, and I can't remember the name of the company that him and his dad are running. So he's like 14 years old, but him and his father designed this hobo fishing reel setup. But like, just good solid kids. And I'm like, oh, you want to learn some tourniquet stuff? Yeah. And then next thing you know, there's another kid there and just going over some tourniquet applications, and they loved it. And then I had, there was another guy that came by and he said, hey, I listened to what you were teaching those kids and that's all good solid stuff. So I guess I'm on the right track with teaching them how to put a tourniquet on. But
And Doc the Donut Man was there, who took Jason Smith's class.
He did.
And Jason Smith was there, who was one of our guest instructors. So it was like such a small world. And, you know, we just had a damn good time, like just connecting with people who I haven't seen in a couple of weeks, couple of months, you know, a couple of years.
Yeah, years, like Chance Sanders. I hadn't seen him in probably 17, 18 years. It was practically what you preached when I met him.
Yeah. So, Chance Sanders and I, we met in 2007. Chance has, a long history in the outdoors community. I mean, he's a bow hunter. He does primitive skills. He's a flint napper. He's a commercial diver. Like the dude does a lot of different things. When I first met him in 2007 at one of these events, we had an informal shooting range on Terrell's property. And it was funny because, you know, everyone has the responsibility of being range master. So Chance shows up and he had an M14 with him. And next thing you know, you hear someone yelling, ceasefire, ceasefire, ceasefire. Because Chance didn't realize that the targets were rimfire only, or they were not rated for his 308. And he said, he's like, man, I just got out of the Marines and, you know, all of our targets are rated for our ammo. And you look down range and there's these like perfect little chicken silhouettes with like 30 caliber holes, you know, burnt right through them. So I met Chance years ago and, you know, he was there with his son. Son's riding his bike all around. And it was just really, really cool to reconnect.
Yeah, it was definitely like a family oriented event too. Like lots of kids running around and
just. Yeah, there were kids running around and it wasn't like it was just all knives, right? Like you go to Blade Show and for like 95% of the tables, you're going to find all knives. But when you go to Georgia Bushcraft, it was, all right, this table has goat soap, which you got some for your wife. I got some for my girlfriend. So we got goat soap. And then there is another table where this guy, he showed up with all sorts of stuff that like old pots and pans,
like axes. Surplus stuff and everything. It's like a flea market in one event.
Yeah, and it really was. And that dude, I mean, I'm sure he was open to bartering because there was that little girl running around who just kept trading up from like a $3 item. And then by the end of the weekend, she had like a $100 knife with her. But yeah, you have goat soap, you got the flea market, you got like dedicated knife makers, like the Knives by Nuge guy and, you know, Jason Smith and LT Wright and SE Knives. I mean, like the
Lone Knives, Sparrow Bushcraft.
I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And then on top of that, you had, the people there that were, you know, selling like all sorts of trinkets. Like at one point you're like, you need the Batarang. And I was like, yeah, I do need that Batarang. I didn't end up getting one.
But that was, what was the name of that company?
The one that had all those metal cut things?
The Tribe Craftsman. No, I was, I asked how much a slingshot was. They had kid slingshots and I was telling the guy that my 3-year-old is trying to shoot my wrist rocket, but she can't pull it back. And he's like, oh, that's for your kid? And he's like, here, take the slingshot. He wouldn't let me pay for it. And then he's like, oh, she needs ammo too. He gave me a bag full of the terracotta balls to go with this. So that's the quality of people are there. I mean, I was more than happy to pay for it. And he's like, oh, no, just take it.
Well, you know, let's give him a little shout out. So what's his Instagram?
All right. So his Instagram is The Tribe Craftsman, M-E-N, not M-A-N. And his first name is Brandon, but just great guy. I mean, I just mentioned something and, here, take it.
Yeah.
But, and that wasn't uncommon throughout there. I mean, like, even some of the other booths that, they're just very welcoming and.
Yeah. And it's cool. Like you walk around and, every once in a while you get someone that tries to do like the hard sell and it's like, I'm not interested, dude, but I'll listen to you and that way I have a better understanding. But, all right. So we make our way around and like, obviously we help out John on the first day. I thought the first day was kind of slow, like a little slow, like people came in spurts.
Yep.
But then we get the first night and guys, I'll tell you, if you go to one of these events, you need to camp out because when the sun went down, it was like a, we joked it was like a refugee camp because when you looked out into the field, there were hundreds of vehicles and hundreds of tents and everything from like high end sprinter vans to people literally just dropping a tarp on the ground and sleeping under the tarp. But then Andy Roy
with the light show.
Yeah. Okay. So I felt like I was back in the 8th grade again, playing flashlight tag, or maybe I do that in the 6th grade. I don't remember, but, everyone brought out like lasers and flashlights and you could see these beams cutting through the air. And then Andy Roy breaks out. Was it an O-light?
I have no idea what it was.
So
it was massive.
It was massive. It was like the size of a Coca-Cola can, with like a funnel on the top. And Andy's like, yeah, watch this. And he goes, there's a safety on this and you've got the spotlight and the floodlight. And when he turned that thing on, it looked like a handheld spotlight. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not trying to like overstate what this thing did, but it was, I mean, probably a $500 flashlight. And he said he got it for a Father's Day gift from his kids and his wife. And shout out to Leah, by the way, she's a total sweetheart. So
I think he said 6,000 lumens, but like it was casting the beam as far as you could see, like it was drowning out the stars when he was turning it on.
Yeah. Just a lot of fun. Just a lot of fun. So it was interesting because there were people on one side of the field shooting flashlights at the other people and they're shooting flashlights back. And then, because you could see the visible laser, you could tell that like people were pointing out the stars, all the constellations. So even after the show wrapped, you had, people doing like celestial navigation, like, oh, that little cluster of stars. Oh, that's Pleiades. Oh, over there, there's Orion's Belt. Oh, there's the Big Dipper. There's, Cassiopeia. Like it was cool because even when we were just sitting around BSing at night around the fire, we were getting a little education. Like I never knew that cluster of stars that I've seen all over the place. I didn't know that one particular cluster of stars was Pleiades until Andy pointed it out. But I think the star of the show, no pun intended, the star of the show for camping out in that field, and it was because of the restriction, the fire restriction, was that fake solo stove that John had.
Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know, solo stove, those are those like backyard bonfires. Well, we weren't allowed to have a ground fire at this event. So Tim from Tobacco Road Adventures brought a whole bunch of wood and John brought the solo stove lookalike thing, which I think he said we paid, what, $140 for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, $140. So we used, I don't know how much wood, maybe, I won't say a cord of wood.
No.
Half a cord, maybe half a cord.
Maybe even a quarter of a cord.
Maybe a quarter of a cord. But by the time that we were done burning it, there was like very little ash left over. It burned super clean. It definitely warmed us up. And that was the star of the show, in my opinion. Now, what about the next morning? Because let's talk about an etiquette thing here. Jerry is more of a restless ass than I am. Like I get up early. Jerry gets up even earlier. Jerry was usually the first one up. And what about the noise that you had to make, but you didn't want to make?
Yeah, like it's kind of hard to split wood quietly to get small stuff. And so there was a guy, actually it was the guy from Knives by Nuge. He was camped like right across the little roadway from us. And I went over and he was he lit his fire with a torch he asked the night before. And then I went over to ask for, he's like, oh, here, yeah, use this. And then he said, oh, you want some fatwood too? And I was like, sure. So click of the torch and, you know, everything's up and going. I brought it back over. I was like, thanks for your cheater. He goes, that's not cheating. That's winning.
Yeah. And then at one point we looked over and I think you said, you're like, Kev, he's thawing out his table with a blowtorch.
Yep. He was taking the ice off top of the metal table with the blowtorch.
Yeah. He's a wild dude. The guy gave up law enforcement of 7 years to become a full-time knife maker.
Smart man.
Why do you say that?
Because he's getting out of law enforcement because it's no fun anymore.
Yeah. But you know, I'll say this, like Jerry entertained some folks around the fire with some stories from law enforcement and, you know, I won't go into all the details because you just had to be there. But, you know, it's funny when, you know, Jerry was telling those stories, it was like pin drop quiet. And when I walked over and I talked to the guys from American Tomahawk, they're like, yeah, you know, our most popular items were tactical items. I'm like, oh, that's kind of strange, you know. So even at a bushcraft event where, you know, the focus should be bushcraft, law enforcement was popular, according to the Carmack guys over at American Tomahawk, tactical stuff was popular. So there is a crossover, guys. Like, you know, when Craig Caudill teaches land nav or when he teaches tracking, he's doing it from multiple perspectives, including like the military perspective, the law enforcement perspective, search and rescue perspective. So if you think you're just going to go to an event like this and there's going to be like a whole bunch of bush hippies, I mean, there'll be a few bush hippies, but you're going to get people from all different walks of life. All right. So now Saturday rolls around. Saturday was the bigger of the 2 days. And to put this into perspective, there were estimated 800 to 1,000 people that showed up there. And at one point, I don't know if it was Onyx or if it was another program. I think it was Onyx. But one of the guys pulled up the map of the property and we're like, wow, this is a huge property. And they were flying drones over to like to show the pictures of like all the cars parking there. Well, Saturday is when the parking lot really filled up and it wasn't coming in spurts. It was constant. Like we looked down at our watch and we're like, okay, this event is going for, you know, it's been going on for hours and we didn't even feel like it.
No, it was like, it was 12:40. Cause I was saying morning to people and it was actually afternoon.
Yeah. Those guys had a scavenger hunt, which explains why Santa was walking around. I'm just trying to think of like some of the other things that I saw on Saturday where I was like, well, that's unique. There was a falconer who was walking around with a red-tailed hawk.
Back to Santa though, this is probably one of the coolest Santas because Santa was had a hawk stuck in his belt, which is cool.
It's kind of like Yukon Cornelius, right? He had a hawk and he had a revolver and, you know, he had a get off me tool with that pickaxe, right? Mm-hmm. Yukon Cornelius knew what was up back in the day. And then let's see who else was walking around. There was the dude that was in like the full buckskin.
Yep.
They had, which I thought this was really slick and maybe I need to do it next year. Although I got an offer from Andy Roy to come down and make a knife and I got to take him up on that one. They were making like little tomahawks out of railroad spikes.
Yeah. They had that whole blacksmith shop set up over there.
Yeah. So, Rob from Exotac, and guys, I know it sounds like I'm dropping a whole bunch of names, which I am because there are people in the industry that we're friends with, but Rob from Exotac, who's been on the podcast, he's been out here, he's trained with us. Rob showed up with his wife, Kim, and his daughter, Haley. And Rob's like, yeah, look what Haley made. And she made a tomahawk out of a railroad spike. And then Rob went over to the belt grinder and put an edge on it, which that's a good dad, right?
Yep.
Make sure your knives are sharp. Who else did you see that you were like, oh, I can't believe that person's here?
See, who do we run into?
There were a couple Naked and Afraid people, a couple people from like various TV shows. I think there were a couple Forge and Fire folks there.
Yeah, there were, I forget who was saying it. Well, I think John was saying that was a guy from Forge and Fire.
You got a chance to meet Patrick Rollins from Essie.
Yep, very cool dude. I don't think I met someone there that I wouldn't say. And that was one thing. It's like everything was inviting. We were talking about like you could walk up to any different campfire that was there and sit down and talk to people and they wouldn't be like, who the hell are you?
Yeah. And you know, that's usually like one of the other things about the etiquette. When you go to one of those events, like you can say, hey, can I join you by your fire? Hey, can I come into camp? You know, that type of thing. But at this event, I mean, we were camped right in the vendor section. Here's one of the things I'll say, which this goes right back to the old school events that that Jerry and I went to, like practice what you preach and war and peace and all those things. I left out a lot of gear. Not one thing would disappear. Not one thing walked away. And I'm not saying that that can't happen, but the likelihood of that happening is so low because, I mean, you've got a lot of eyes watching your equipment. Like I had a very rare hollow handled survival knife just sitting out in the tail bed, right? I had, you know, a couple knives just sitting out in as like a display. No one walked away with them. And they were, these are like little things that if you're distracted, like, yeah, someone could steal, but all the stuff was exactly where I left it. You know, and there, the other cool thing is like people are willing to demonstrate what they have on their kit and their gear. And like they come into the campfire and they're like, here, you try out my knife, try out this, try out that. So like if you're trying to get like a good idea of if you should invest in something, hang out after the booths close and just walk around to the camps and be like, hey, you guys have anything for trade? Because I tried doing a couple trade things, but I only made one trade, which I thought was an unfair trade. And I was like, dude, are you serious? But he insisted on it. So shout out to Patrick because he gave me a Fallraven. I think that's the pronunciation. Fallraven, something Norwegian. Fallraven Steuben pack, which turns into like a seat. And all he wanted was a machete. I'm like, okay, bro. We shook on it. And that's the other thing, by the way. Like when you guys go to these shows and you shake, like that's your word. Like you just shook on it. So that little girl who was making her way around,
she was a wheeler and dealer.
You bought a few things from her, right? Fire steels?
Yeah, she was selling. She had a bag of fire steels with leather holders that with screws and grommets on them to like add to a ship. She did, oh, they're one for a dollar or three for five. She was definitely making deals.
Yeah, and her father is Bushcraft Kelso. He's a guy who saw something that I posted, and here's a long story, right? Here's how everything gets connected. He saw a flashlight, a Streamlight that we actually sell now through Fieldcraft. He saw that flashlight. He saw that I put shrink wrap tubing around the body, and inside that shrink wrap tubing is an elastic band, like a Strock cord. Well, I learned that from Tom Kyer from STG, and the GBRS guys learned that from Tom Kyer. So when I met the dudes from GBRS, I'm like, hey, we have a mutual friend. And I showed them the flashlight. They're like, you know, Tom, right? Mm-hmm. And then Bushcraft Kelso saw that. And he's like, that's such a great idea. I can't believe I never thought of it. Do you mind if I use it? I'm like, of course you can use whatever. So at the show, he was selling those things. And he's always posting it and he's always giving credit. So I'm going to give credit right back. Okay. So now it's past Friday. It's Saturday. Saturday is the crazy day. Like Saturday, everyone is selling everything. John had a 20 by 20 booth. And I mean, it was cool that we were there because it allowed him as a vendor to go off and explore and talk to people. But guys, at these events, it's like where the networking happens. Like you never know who you're going to bump into.
Like we met Scott from Grail Filters.
Yes.
And he let us do a video like how his filter works and how fast it, that kind of stuff. And
yeah. And, you know, we should talk about some of the hater comments online because they're comical, right? Like, guys, normally I don't give credit or power to anyone that does anything stupid, like, or says anything stupid on online, but let's talk about some of the haters. So one of them was like, oh yeah, they're filtering clear water from a pond. Oh, that's really difficult. It's like, well, what do you expect? Like we're in the middle of a field. There's no clear water source. They brought in water and it's a demo. You know, it's more about like how easy the thing is to push through the filter. And then someone's like, oh yeah, you probably have to put electrolytes in there because that water probably tastes like crap. It's like, no, he's just showing that it's got a one-way valve and it's the only filter that's electrolyte compatible. But that dude was awesome.
Yeah.
You know? And it's funny because he kind of had like this like California vibe or like mm-hmm. this like long hiking vibe. But the minute we were like, all right, dude, 3, 2, 1, go. He turned on that salesman mode and his pitch was solid. We're excited, by the way. I'm not going to say what is coming to Jerry and to me to test out. But let's just say that there is a brand new product from Grail that's coming that is apparently the Grail everyone has been asking for.
The Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail. Yeah. So that one's coming. Guys, pay attention to that. We should have it fairly soon and we'll test it out in the courses. What other networking did you have out there? Because there's the lady who came in, Michelle Owens.
Yep.
And her company that she works for, she's like, oh yeah, you know, I work for this company. It's owned by Beretta. You might have heard of it, Norma. And I'm like, as in like Norma Precision. So she came in and she's like, oh, I love teaching females. And I'm like, well, would you like to be an instructor? Please send me your resume. So I've actually got to follow up with her and then send it off to Utah. Cause she was really cool. Who else did we see there? That was like, you know, just someone interesting that was like, hey, I'm so glad we met. We should do something.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who. Dr. Donut Man, he's interesting. Cause he teaches a lot of med stuff. He was a medic in the army.
And he's local, right?
I think he's in South Carolina. He's not too far from us.
Hmm. Maybe we bring him up to shadow you mm-hmm. on that class. But so we had Michelle Owens from Norma who popped in. Then there was a guy, and this is the one that blew me away, right? Like, because guys, here's how easy it is to network at one of these events. Hey, why don't you come on in the booth? Let's talk. So I pulled this guy in, and big, like, burly dude. He's there with his daughter. And I'm like, hey man, I'm like, I wish I could have eaten some of the barbecue. Like, I'm just changing up my diet.
That's right. Cause he was the caterer.
Yeah, he was. And I want to talk about that in a second. So we start talking and he's like, yeah, man, I run this program called Comfort Farm. And he goes, I'm a former Army Ranger. Every year we do this event where we bring people to the base of a mountain and we do like a very respectful slaughtering of an animal and the vets are involved in the whole process. It's invite only. We bring in professional chefs and celebrity chefs. He's like, it's only about 300 or 350 people. And my jaw dropped because I was like, how do you plate for 300 or 350 people? And he's like, yeah. And then I did this thing where I traveled back to Africa and I found my roots and I have these ancient grains that can grow pretty much without a soil system. And I mean, really freaking interesting dude.
Well, that was that other thing about that. Comfort Farms is they grow their own stuff and meat and
start to finish.
Yep.
And then like we started talking about animals and he's like, yeah, I have these wild pasture pigs and or wild woodland pigs. And I was like, oh, do you finish them with acorns? He goes, hold on. He goes, a lot of people, you know, obsess over finishing with acorns, but acorns only grow for, you know, part of the year, they only drop for a little bit. So what is that pig eating for the rest of the time? Like he knew his stuff and he's like, yeah, you know, I'd love to work with you guys at some point. I'm like, I'd love to work with you. So I'm going to have him on the podcast and he's also probably going to be the guest chef when we do rewilding here on the East Coast, but what an interesting dude. And I never would have had that conversation if he didn't come by the booth. And if I didn't just say, hey, dude, why don't you come on in? You know, don't be shy. And, you know, granted, I ate one of his pulled pork sandwiches, which was out of this world. But he had all this other stuff at this event. And I think like, we got to talk more about the food. Because I walked by that and he had full, like, sides of beef just, like, roasting.
Yeah, there was a whole rack that was roasting. And then he had the system with probably, like, a dozen chickens over each fire he had going that he was cooking those.
Yeah, it was wild. It was absolutely.
What about wild. Like the other end of the spectrum? That guy who's a broadcasting instructor who walked up and.
So you can tell that one because I don't want to brag.
All right, so I met the guy after Kevin did. And we were just talking. He's like, "Oh yeah, well, I teach broadcasting, and I think he's like a college professor level, but he's like, I actually use Kevin's podcast stuff to show them how they should be talking." So he actually took one of Kevin's podcasts and uses it for instructing people on broadcasting and stuff like that. So, I mean, Kevin's a humble dude, but I would consider it like a massive compliment if I was in Kevin's spot.
Yeah, man. I was shocked when he said that. I had good conversations with people about the podcast. One of them was about all the World War II stuff. That I talked about with the one with my dad and then the Vietnam era stuff with the Lee Ellis.
Oh, that was the one that he said he used, the Lee Ellis series.
That was wild. So it was just really cool, you know, having those connections. So now we talked about, you know, the podcaster, we talked about the food, we talked about the camping, the night show, so to speak, the arts and crafts that were happening at all the different seminars. I mean, overall, I will say that this Georgia Bushcraft event, which we were strangers to, like, it was very welcoming. You had Casey, the guy who runs the event, come over, and he was all excited that we were there. I think we're planning on going there in the spring and in the fall. But there are so many other shows, not just Georgia Bushcraft. Like, if you guys can't make it out here, it's understandable. It's a very tough time right now with the economy. So, you know, I think, you know, you could go to SHOT Show. You can go to the Overland Expos, which they're all over there. There's East Coast, West Coast, Mountain West, Pacific Northwest. You can go to Blade Show. Canucopia is one I've wanted to go to for a long time. That's up in like Minnesota. You can go to Rabbit Stick, which is the primitive skills gathering, which, here's a quick story with Rabbit Stick. We were doing an event out west. I was teaching a class. I couldn't make it out there to teach primitive skills. I couldn't do the fire by friction because I was teaching elsewhere. So I'm reaching out to everyone. And I'm like, hey, can you come? They're like, nope, Rabbit Stick. Hey, can you come? Nope, Rabbit Stick. Hey, do you know anyone? No, we're all going to Rabbit Stick. I said it was like trying to find a football fan on the day of the Super Bowl. Like, there's no chance that you can do that. So there are so many events you can go to. And the formula is very simple. Just find out about the event. If you can't, if you can't go for all the days, then just go for one day. But just get your feet wet. The packing. There was so much stuff that I brought that I didn't even use because everyone had something. And like, all you have to worry about is eating, which, I mean, you can bring sandwiches if you want. You can cook if you want. Sleeping. So something to sleep inside, over, and under. Going to the bathroom. Porta-johns. Guys, the porta-johns, we were told, oh, they're going to be gross. They're going to be nasty. I've done some dirty stuff in worse places than that.
Oh, yeah. But there was, like twice a day they came by with a side-by-side and a trailer and they emptied the garbage. You put fresh bags in. And I think Saturday they came through with the truck and pumped the porta potties out. So, I mean, they were right on top of stuff there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so our packing for us was actually even easier because thanks to John Maynard, we pulled up and the camp kitchen was set up and we just had to like throw our tents up and he was an awesome host.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other thing too. Like, you guys can follow our lead, right? Like, find someone who's going and say, hey, can I come as a supporter, as an assistant? Cause you walk by any of those booths and like Jason Smith was there with, was it Twin Hawk?
Yep.
Twin Hawks. So there's a lot of people that split booths. So I know we've been talking to you guys as like, if you are an attendee, but if you're going as an exhibitor, I mean, keep in mind, if you go to any of these shows, you have to pay. But from what I gathered, the cost of admission or the cost of setting up a booth was very low. You know, I heard what it costs for Overland Expo, which is pricey, considering overlanding gear is usually expensive, but this was a tenth of the cost. So if you want to go to one of these, you can split a booth with someone, share tables or whatever. But you know, you show up and you're probably going to make that back and more. And more importantly, you're going to make all these connections. What else haven't we covered? Cause there's so much.
Oh, the poor guy from Tough Possum Gear that couldn't make it because
my God, how did I forget that
his
one?
Wife was ready to have their child. So his mom and dad came and ran the booth and he was just an awesome guy too to talk to.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jay Barry Miller, guys, shout out to Tough Possum Gear. He's been a very, very big supporter of Fieldcraft. He has sent gear for me to use on trips and he's sent gear for me to evaluate and review. And something that I'll say for the rest of this year and all of 2024 at the survival classes, he gave me on the last day, or his dad gave me on the last day, various items that were $20 all the way up to, I think, $40 or $50 to give away at those classes. So if you guys come to a Fieldcraft class, like Exotac has given us stuff in the past to give away. Well, now Jay Barry Miller from Tough Possum Gear gave away, you know, various pouches. So you guys have a chance to win one of those. So, I mean, the list goes on and on and on, but some of the best friends that I've ever made from, or in the survival space, were from these different trade shows, these different events and whatnot. And this is one of those events that I think I'm going to go back to again in the springtime. From us in Aberdeen, it was 5 hours away. Not a bad drive. What was that one road that we did 200 miles on?
I don't know. It was, I don't remember, but it was like, your next turn is in 213 miles. Yeah. Like, okay, then.
We didn't mention this. It wasn't a bad drive. Make sure that you guys have good cell phone coverage. If you have a Starlink, if you have a Garmin inReach that you want to text message out using that, go ahead. You want to always make sure that you're going to have cell coverage. And I think with all those people that were there, they kind of might have maybe overloaded the system. So make sure that you have good cell phone coverage. I had issues with my phone, but then again, my phone's all beaten up and gross. But some of the newer phones didn't have any issue at all. The other thing, make sure you know the gun laws. That's something we got to bring up. Like normally Jerry carries a SIG 365, but whenever he and I travel, like we both carry Glock 19s. They said at this one, like leave your firearms in the car. But I will say that there were times that guns were shown, maybe not inside a vehicle, but next to a vehicle, like cool stuff. Like, the guns from Lionheart Industries were there with a suppressor. And by the way, there's another event that is coming up in just a couple days, but it's called CanCon from the guys at Recoil. So we were checking out the gun that's going to be shot there. Guys, make sure that you respect the gun laws. Keep in mind, you are a visitor on someone's property when you go to one of these events, or if the event happens to be in a location where they say, oh, firearms are restricted in this area, just you guys are responsible for you. Just don't do something stupid. What else?
I mean, I know. I think the biggest thing I took away from, and I guess it's like any other event like that, like you go and you just meet people there and then, but you leave as friends. Like at the end, it was like high school girls swapping phone numbers just to make sure we could stay in contact with each other earlier.
Yeah. And that's one of the things. Make sure that you guys keep a running list of all the people you meet. Again, you'll bump into people. You'll meet with them again years down the road, but you'll have that fun way of like tracing it back to one of these events. So I don't know. I mean, I think we'd leave it there. We jam-packed a lot of information in 45 minutes.
We did. It was a lot of name dropping, but
it felt
like it. But that's what it was. I mean, it was networking. You were meeting people there. So
yeah. And the other thing is like the people, like I met a lot of really cool attendees. I met a lot of people in the industry, and to have that, I don't like calling it star power, but like to have those good names in the industry all in one place, and then seeing like, wow, all these guys are collaborating. Like it wasn't like there was drama between booths, like seeing that everyone is there with the common goal to make you guys a better version of yourself, to get you better gear, to train you up. That was so awesome. Something that I really appreciate. Cause I always say like our competition, believe it or not, it's not other survival schools. Our competition are the people that tell you like, why are you doing that? Like, why are they questioning you? They should be encouraging you to come out and get training, especially with the uncertain state of the world that we live in. So my greatest takeaway is that it's just a freaking awesome time and I'm going back.
Yep. I will also.
All right, guys. That was the name dropping podcast, also known as the Fieldcraft Survival Podcast for this particular episode. Please go check out all of those folks that we mentioned. They're all good people. Otherwise, I wouldn't have, uttered their name. And we'll check in with you guys next time.